Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast and Radio MD iHeart or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We have a great guest for you on this segment, 1043B. It's all about autoimmune disease. How do you live well with autoimmune disease? A rheumatologist's guide to taking charge of your health with Julius Birnbaum, MD and MHS. He's associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School and Medical Center. Autoimmune disease is pretty darn common. We'll get to what that means in a few seconds. First, we should always remind you we're brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue, as well as by LongevityPlaybook.com. Sign up for the free newsletter at LongevityPlaybook.com. Dr. Birnbaum, tell us, how common is autoimmune disease, and do people live well with it, or can they defeat it?
Well, that's a great question. So I think autoimmune diseases affect approximately 20% of this country right now. So it's a common scourge that I think lots of patients encounter and do battle with. The good thing about autoimmune diseases is that I think we're in a type of golden era. So medications that would be thought of as being impossible several years ago are now available. They could have dramatic effectiveness. And I think that we're using them in a more strategic fashion. So autoimmune diseases are being better managed than any other time. And I'm excited to be part of that, physicians who take care of patients with autoimmune diseases.
And what causes autoimmune disease? So why do we attack ourselves?
So autoimmune diseases, when we think about that, is that we have an immune system. And the immune system normally functions in a good way. It protects us from infections. In autoimmune diseases, the immune system becomes confused. And instead of just fighting off infections, it can affect different parts of our body. So we have antibodies in autoimmune diseases that act in a very confused fashion. So these antibodies, instead of fighting off infections, now they start turning into proteins in different part of our bodies. It's thought that these antibodies can also be cross-reactive with infections. So in essence, if you have an antibody that's fighting off an infection and that infection somehow looks as part of our cells, then that antibody thinks that our self is something to be targeted. So one way is that we share certain proteins with infections. It's just happenstance. And if we do so, the antibodies will not only fight off infections, but it will also affect different parts of our body. The other part of our immune system is produced by cells called T cells. And these T cells normally squirt out different proteins in our body called cytokines. In autoimmune diseases, these T cells also can behave in an abnormal way. And the same cytokines, the same proteins that are sent out in our body that normally fight off infections, it could serve as an ignition for autoimmune diseases. So we have this immune system that normally helps us fight off infections. But again, the immune system becomes confused in autoimmune diseases, and what results are different autoimmune diseases.
Tell us, are there things we can do that the person who gets the autoimmune disease can do to lessen their chances of getting it, one, and two, lessen their chances of being affected in a very negative way by it?
So I think the first question is interesting. What you're asking about is, can we prevent autoimmune diseases from developing in the first place? And we're not quite there yet. There are certain antibodies that we see in rheumatoid arthritis that we can actually see in patients who don't yet have rheumatoid arthritis, but they have inflammation in the joints, not as severe as rheumatoid arthritis. So we've done clinical studies, and these studies have shown that we can't generally prevent rheumatoid arthritis from developing, but we're still trying. The second question is, how can you reduce the severity of an autoimmune disease? And I think it requires very timely diagnosis. And the quicker that an autoimmune disease is recognized as being present, and the quicker that a rheumatic disease is being refer to rheumatologists, I think that you have the best chance at an optimal and an expeditious response. So the whole spectrum of physicians you might see are rheumatic disease, a rash by a dermatologist, an abnormal kidney biopsy by a kidney specialist. The sooner those physicians refer, if you're a patient with rheumatic disease, to a rheumatologist, the best chance you have at having a good treatment outcome.
We learned about things called disease-modifying agents and others. Is living well with it involve using those, or is it adjuncts such as physical therapy or exercise or chiropractic or acupuncture? What's the whole range? You cover it so well in the book, but let's share it with our audience.
So sure, I think they need to be done together. So I think if you use disease-modifying agents in concert with these other strategies that promote well health, then you can have a really gratifying response to treatment. So generally, disease-modifying agents, these are medications that have either been developed or newly developed that can help you develop a good treatment response. I think the newer agents are able to pinpoint with dramatic precision certain pathways that might be causing inflammation. And so there's definitely a role for appropriate and aggressive use of these DMARD agents, disease-modifying agents, when possible. But certainly, I think that trying to take advantage of the whole potpourri of other non-medicinal approaches is really important. I think focusing on your mental health and making sure that you're not overcome with depression is important. I think that exercising is crucial. I think that it has certain anti-inflammatory properties, as well as dramatically improving your mood and your sense of resilience in terms of fighting with your rheumatic disease. We know that proper sleep is really important. Patients with rheumatic diseases should be getting 8 hours of sleep at night if possible. Diet is another attribute that's important to really make sure that you're not eating processed foods, enough fruits and vegetables. And I think when you take these strategies that don't involve medicines, they're number one, effective. And number two, what I say in my book is they really place you in the driver's seat. So you have this really nice sense of being empowered. And this is what I mean when I say that you should be in the driver's seat. It's not just you're selecting medications, but you're taking active action against these rheumatic diseases. So certainly, mental health, wellness, diet, exercise, proper sleep, these go a long way in the success of treatment for your rheumatic diseases.
And I think you mentioned in a big way stress management. Is that true?
Yeah, stress management is really important. And, you know, we live in a life of stress, so you're not going to shield yourself from all stressors. But the thing is, like, what do you do to help yourself when you have a rheumatic disease and you're feeling stressed? And I think having an open dialogue with families to share things that are stressing you out, talking with family members saying, what boundaries can I set? I need help. There are certain things that might cause me too much fatigue that I really need help with. Reaching out to others is important in the context of social groups, either on social media or in person. There are patient conferences organized by disease foundations, such as the Sjögren's Disease Foundation, Lupus Disease Foundation. And this is an incredible resource that once a year you can come together with other patients who have your rheumatic disease, thousands of patients in certain instances, and you get the benefits of accessing the experience of very expert physicians who might give talks. But these conferences are amazing because then you take walks and you could do it with these physician experts and you get to know them in an informal way. You get to meet people from all across the country who have your rheumatic diseases. So I think stress management's important. And in terms of trying to establish a supportive social network and reaching out so you feel less isolated when you come to rheumatic diseases, all these strategies can lessen your degree of stress.
I think the importance of highlighting, I should say, a social network is really outstanding. And you do such a good job in the book. The book is Living Well with Autoimmune Disease, A Rheumatologist's Guide to Taking Charge of Your Health. We're talking with Julius Birnbaum. You can get more information about him and the book at juliusbirnbaum, BIRNBAUM.org. He's an associate professor of rheumatology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. Julius, if I can ask a couple more questions before we have to sign off. One of the things that has always puzzled me is that women develop autoimmune disease to a higher degree, I believe, than men. It's almost 2-1, isn't it?
No, you're right. And there are certain rheumatic diseases in which it's astounding. So for example, Sjogren's disease affects 90% females. So there's definitely a female predilection. It has things that we're not quite sure, but definitely involves the changes in hormones. For example, a lot of patients with Sjogren's disease will develop their disease like right in the early perimenopausal period, postmenopausal period. So it definitely has a lot to do with different hormonal influences. And I think that's why you see such a sex predilection that can affect females.
Is there anything different between men and women in their immune system that would make it more likely for women?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, in women, you have to inactivate X chromosomes, so you have like an equal balance. And there are thoughts that different regulatory things in trying to inactivate X chromosomes in females can drive an autoimmune response. But yeah, this is something that I think is an active area of research right now, but there's a lot of thoughts, but basically the big picture is that hormonal influences can definitely explain why certain rheumatic diseases predominantly affect females.
Tell me again, when I was training, and way back when, we used to use aspirin for pain in rheumatoid arthritis. Is that still used at all in addition to other things, or are there reasons it isn't used now?
Yeah, so I think right now there's just so much better ways that we can use medications compared to the past. And this is what I really emphasize throughout the book is that we now know how to use medications in a better way. So, for example, in not only chapters in rheumatoid arthritis, but psoriatic arthritis in different chapters of my book, I use the term biological medications, and these are medications that are grown from microorganisms. And these biological medications, it's amazing how they could really neutralize very, very specific parts of the immune system. So if you have this fine-honed ability to interact and kind of dampen down specific pathways, then what happens is you have side effects that might be less serious. So I think the treatment of rheumatic diseases and its goal there. I love being a physician who takes care of patients with rheumatic diseases because I love thinking about autoimmunity, but obviously this love and passion about thinking of autoimmunity has to come across in their care of taking patients. Without patients, I think that this would be a thought process that would be very cold. And I just love having the ability to use science. And I love the ability of having the ability to use science to take care of patients with autoimmune diseases. And it really is my passion. And it really was the reason why I wanted to write this book. I wanted patients to listen to thoughts that I had and patients who I would not necessarily be in my clinic. So I really do consider it a privilege to write this book.
Well, that passion comes through with the book. We've been talking with Dr. Julius Birnbaum, who's written a great book, Living Well with Autoimmune Disease. He is available at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And of course, it is juliusbirnbaum.org. Thank you very much. Again, we're sponsored by Life First Naturals. Go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, and they're the makers of Bovine Colostrum, Truebiotics, and Dye Rescue. And of course, longevityplaybook.com. You can sign up for the free newsletter at their website. Thank you very much, Dr. Birnbaum. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too.